Robert taught on Abraham last 2 weeks ago, and I have missed you guys. I do not like winter. Cindy, are you over it? Good. She likes snow. We don't like snow. So we're over it, but no, I hate missing church due to weather, but sometimes it's just not feasible to get out and to be here. Anyway, when we left here last Sunday morning and it was snowing so hard, I'm thinking, we're not going to get home. And then we got home and I looked out the window like an hour or so later and I'm thinking, it's gone. Where did it go? Oh, wow. But anyway, today we're going to study Melchizedek. How many knows who Melchizedek was in the Bible, or have you ever heard of Melchizedek? He was the king of Salem. Mm-hmm. And I asked the question a couple weeks ago, where is Salem? Do you know where Salem was? Salem is the name of Jerusalem before it was changed to Jerusalem. So, you know, people say, well, how can the Jews have possession and have, that's their land? That's been their land since the beginning of time. That's where God has focused in that area, his city. And it's going to start there in the beginning of the Old Testament, and that's where it's going to end when the end of time comes. It's going to end in Jerusalem, in that area. But anyway, Melchizedek is one, this is what I, statement that I was when I was studying. It says Melchizedek is one of the most intriguing characters the Bible says almost nothing about. There's not much said about him, but he is a very intriguing person. There's only three books in the Bible that talk about Melchizedek. One is, of course, Genesis. One is in Psalms, and it's just a verse in Psalms that it talks about it. But the whole book of Hebrews talks about Melchizedek, about the royal priesthood. They compare them with Jesus Christ. Many people believe that Melchizedek was Jesus in body form back in the Old Testament, whenever Abraham will meet Melchizedek. Some people just say he was a guy that worshiped God. There's a lot of things that people have ideas about. But he was the king of Salem. And then it talks about that he was the priest of the Most High God. And a priest is someone, back in the Old Time Testament, was one that did sacrifices for other people. They were like that intercessory type prayer for someone else. Most usually when you were a priest, and he was the priest of the Most High God, he was interceding for other people. But anyway, there's 10 biblical kind of facts about Melchizedek. Before I get into those of you that maybe was able a couple of weeks ago to study about, look up and figure out what you found out about him, what is something that you found out that was interesting, that was intriguing about Melchizedek? It's been 2 weeks ago. You say you've slept a few nights since then. So all that's out of the brain, isn't it? All right. Well, I'll give you the 10 biblical facts about Melchizedek, and then if you have some questions or you want to talk about it, we'll go over it. Number one, and I just kind of mentioned it, he's only mentioned in three books of the Bible, Genesis, Psalms, and Hebrews. The Genesis account introduces Melchizedek near the beginning of Abraham's story. So we studied about Abraham a couple of weeks ago. Abraham will meet Melchizedek. And again, Melchizedek was introduced as a king The Old Testament is silent about him then until the book of Psalms. And then Psalms will allude to him as being a royal priesthood. But then later in, like I said, the book of Hebrews, Melchizedek is kind of a case study for Jesus' priesthood. So they kind of compare Jesus and Melchizedek together. The second thing about Melchizedek is that the New Testament says more about him than the Old Testament does. And he lived during the Old Testament time. So you would expect that there'd be more about him in the Old Testament. The Old Testament doesn't say a whole lot about him. He comes, he appears, and he's gone. But then in Hebrews, I guess that it says that he's mentioned 10 times in the whole Bible. Once in Genesis, once in Psalms, and then 8 times in Hebrews. So, and Hebrews, the author of Hebrews will spend almost 7 chapters discussing about his priesthood. The third thing about Melchizedek is that he lived during Abraham's time. Melchizedek will comes into play after probably one of the less famous stories of Abraham. You remember Abraham, which they called him Abram before they changed his name. He was from the Earl of Chaldees, and Abraham will find himself in an interesting situation. There was in that time a king that controlled most of that area, and he had eight kings that were under him. 3 of them sided with him, and 5 of them wanted to take over his empire. So while he was away this king was away fighting a war, these other 5 kings decide they're going to rebel. And one of those kings was in over the town that Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so when the main king came back, he was mad because these rebel kings were trying to take over his land. So he will go to Sodom. He will take all the spoils from Sodom and take Lot and his family and all of Lot's herds, and will take them as war spoils. Take them as trophies and take them back and take them back to where this king lived. So when Abraham finds out about it, he's not real happy about it. So Abraham will go out, take about 318 of his men and go to battle and gets Lot back. And so he gets Lot, and he gets all of Lot's cattle. He gets all of Lot's family. In fact, he takes all the other spoils that king had and takes them back with him. And on the way back, Melchizedek will appear. And when he comes up, he will bless Abraham, and he'll bless his family, and he'll bring him cheese and wine to drink, and then all of a sudden, he's gone. So that's where Melchizedek will come into play, and that's found... if you want to look at the story, it's found in Genesis chapter 14, verse 8, where it talks about this story about that Abraham goes out and gets Lot back. And Lot gets himself into a lot of trouble in his lifetime. He had to be saved a couple of times, once by Abraham and once by an angel. But it tells you about, and I couldn't pronounce the king's name, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, was the king that took Lot captive. Anyway, the next thing is Melchizedek will have no record of family, which is very unusual, because the Jews were very into genealogy. Remember the whole book of Chronicles? whole book. Where's the book? What's the book that tells all the Chronicles? Tells about who begat who and who begat who and so-and-so begat this person. They're very meticulous about family. And a lot of that is because of doing that, they are the only ones that can trace their lineage back to the very beginning of time, all the way back to Adam through Jesus Christ. But yet Melchizedek will have none. It says he doesn't have a mother. There's no mention of a mother. There's no mention of a son. So it doesn't even say that he was born or that he had kids or that he died. He just appeared and he was gone then. The author of Hebrews will make a pretty big deal about this because he will contrast the lineage of based on the priesthood of Aaron and Melchizedek. Aaron in the Bible, there is no record of his birth. We just know that he was the older brother of Moses. And we really have no record of Aaron dying either. But Hebrews will make a big deal out of that in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3 and 8. But isn't it also an interesting fact about him is that he was a righteous man. And many people believe that, again, that this was Jesus Christ appearing in flesh. And that's called a what? Does anybody know what that's called? A theophany. That's a big word. That just means that God or Jesus Christ or an angel of came and appeared as a human being. Theos, yeah. Well, thank you. So Hebrews is more interesting about showing off Jesus' superior priesthood to the Hebrews Christian converts. So that's the reason why they bring in the Melchizedek, because he was of the royal priesthood. It mentions that in the Bible. And then the next number 5 is that he was the priest of the Most High God. And find that in Genesis chapter 14 and verse 18. It says, get my book here. It says, and verse 18 says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. So this is Melchizedek, which was a priest of the Most High God, will bless Abraham, which was a servant of the Most High God. And then Abraham will give a tenth of his tithe, or give a tithe to Melchizedek of everything that he won or got back from when he took Lot back. He will give that to Melchizedek. So, again, a priest is someone who performs a religious ritual on the behalf of a people. The priests are human go-betweens. We don't exactly know what kind of rituals Melchizedek performed, but it's probably safe to say that he was blessed. He was blessed. His performance was blessing people on behalf of God, since that's what he did with Abraham. Number 6, the thing about Melchizedek is that he blessed Abraham. He was just returning from defeating those kings. And Melchizedek will bring out the bread and the wine, and then he blesses him. Melchizedek recognized that Abraham had aligned himself with the one true God, the God above all gods. Now, if you remember, at this time, those countries, and it's kind of like it is today, they served a multitude of gods. They had a God for everything. And they worshipped all of them. And you say, that's crazy. We as Christians have one God, and we worship that one God, the true God. Really? We have things that we worship more than God. Could be a television. Could be your job. It could be your kids. What's that? Money. We have so many things that we kind of put up there with God, and we worship them just like the pagans do. So sometimes we have to say, hey, you know, the one true thing that should be first in our life is God. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to have Him as the main thing that we worship. The seventh thing about Melchizedek was he was called the King of Salem. Salem was part of Canaan. Salem will mean full, complete, safe, whole, peaceful. That's what Salem means. The author of Hebrews will again call attention to this when likening Melchizedek to Jesus. It says Melchizedek was the King of Peace. You find that in Hebrews chapter 2, which makes us think of another Prince of Peace. Who is that? Who is our Prince of Peace? Jesus Christ, yes. Which lives up to be part of his name as safe and peaceful, then since Melchizedek was part of that city and he was blessing people, that was his ministry, was to bless people and have a safe place and a peaceful place for people to live. And then we talked a little bit about it, that Salem later was known as Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where Solomon built God's temple. I was listening to how many would like to go over to Israel sometime? You want to make that as a class trip? Let's do that. They was talking about, I guess we could. We could go to the Passion Play, yeah. Not quite like the real one. But anyway, I was listening to a preacher. I don't know if you listened to Robbie Zachariah. He's a fantastic preacher. He is from India. That's where he grew up. He has an accent that sounds like he's from England, doesn't he? He was talking about when Nehemiah came back and built the wall. And because the Babylonians had destroyed Jerusalem, tore down the temple, tore down the wall, and Nehemiah came back. And I'm hoping he's one of the guys that we study about. Because I'm not quite sure I could have been Nehemiah back in those days. But anyway, he built the wall, and they said that they exhumed that wall. There's pieces of that wall still that's there. Can you imagine how long that wall has lasted? How many years? I think that would be the neatest thing to go and see that city. And one of these days, if we don't make it during this lifetime, we may be able to see it later, you know, in the New Jerusalem and all. So, anyway, number eight, Melchizedek's name means King of Righteousness. The two words, if you take the two Hebrew words of it, Malak, which means king or ruler, and Sadak, which means righteousness or just and innocent. To be honest, that's a pretty cool name. How many, you don't really hear people name their kids Melchizedek. Hey, you hear people named Mel. But I don't know. But anyway, I think it's a cool name. Anyway, number nine, the order of Melchizedek is royal and everlasting. The 110th Psalm, Psalms 110, is a messianic prophecy that tells us two things that God promises to do for Jesus. And number one, make Jesus the king in Zion. And number two, make Jesus a priest. The Lord will not change his mind on that. Jesus Christ will be the king in Zion, and he will be a priest, a royal, godly priest forever, which is according to the order of Melchizedek, which is in Psalms 110:4. And since Jesus has resurrected, he is the great high priest of the new covenant between God and man. So Jesus is our high priest. Jesus is who takes away our sins. Just like the priests would do back in the Old Testament, they would kill the animals and put the blood on the altar that would cover the sins of the people for a year. And the priest had to do that every year. And Jesus, when he died on the cross, his blood was on the altar for us once and for all. We don't have to go and get saved every year. Jesus, as the new royal priest of the new covenant, has done that for us. Amazing. If we really think about that, that's amazing that he has done that for us. And then number 10. I have to go back up here. I don't know. He's everlasting. It tells us two things that God promised to do for Jesus, is make Jesus the king in Zion and make Jesus a priest forever. Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't know you were saying no. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And number 10, Melchizedek was greater than Abraham and Aaron. Melchizedek will trump Abraham. He trumps him in Hebrews 7:7. So that Abraham gave Melchizedek a tithe of all the spoils he had that he had collected. So Abraham looked up to Melchizedek. Abraham knew that he was up there, higher, the royal priesthood. And then Aaron looked up to Abraham. It talks about that, how Aaron will look up to Abraham. So that puts Melchizedek higher on the totem pole than Abraham, than Aaron's priesthood. A lot of interesting things about Melchizedek. Anything that, as we've gone through this, that maybe popped into your head? Seven. You want me to give you my notes on Saturday night? Yeah. And the fall. He texted me yesterday, and because we were going to meet, and he goes, "Could you come home?" And I said, "Sure." He said, "When will you be home?" I said, "Well, maybe 10, 15 minutes. So I get home. I go in to see, and he's getting his shoes on. I wasn't paying any attention to, and I come back into the bathroom, and I look, and the shower curtain's down, and I come back in and look. Oh, my gosh, you fell. That's the reason why you called and wanted to know what time I was coming home. And this is really, I'll confess, I have a real fear. And the poor guy, he has to tell me where he is. If I can't get a hold of him, I have an app on my phone that finds him. He did leave it at home the other day, and I kept going looking. Oh, he's at home. Okay. Oh, he's at home. Okay. And then I get this weird phone call, and I'm looking, who's that? So I listened to the recording. He goes, I left my phone at home. I'm at Walmart. I just wanted you to know. How is that going to help if you get lost? Yeah, that's, hey, that's a cool idea. Yeah, I think I like that. This is the reason why I have these fever blisters on my lip. No. I love you too. But anyway, they don't want to hear about our interesting life. Anyway. That calls if you fall or you're laying on the ground, yeah. Oh, now I know what I was going to tell you. A friend, it's not a friend of mine, an acquaintance of mine from Walnut Grove. I went and saw my mom yesterday, and she goes, oh, did you hear that so-and-so passed away? And I said, no, now who is he, and how do I know him? And, you know, I was trying to figure out. And so this lady called her from her church, called her to ask her, did you know that Joe Creed had passed away? And I said, she said, yeah, I heard. This guy must have had a heart attack Friday. He was burning brush and apparently fell into the fire. And when his wife got home from church or from work, all she found was his boots. And I just, it just scared me to death. He's going to be on a shorter leash now. But I told my mom, I said, why did you even tell me that? You know, but anyway, so pray for the Creed family. I don't know what that wife, oh my gosh, but anyway, Jim. Crazy things. Apparently there was a 22-year-old girl yesterday that had a diabetic seizure as well and got her foot lodged while she was driving a car and got her foot lodged on the gas and it took off, went through a fence and a shed, and but she was okay. Just like, wow, just crazy things. Yeah. We have much to be thankful for, yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Well, next week, and another thing, if anybody would like to take an individual and do the lesson, I would love to let you do that. So, I thought you said something. So, next week we're going to study Isaac. And then the week after that, we're going to study Jacob. So anybody that would like to come see me, and we'll look through the book, and you can pick out somebody that you would like to do the lesson, and then we'll figure out about when that lesson, you'll need to have it ready and all. But anyway, we're going to have a good day in the house of the Lord. Pray for Savannah. She is in Florida with her choir, so she won't be leading, but we will be doing our songs, worship it with videos. Got some great songs this morning, so, but pray for Savannah. Oh, yeah. tacos. We're also looking at the Gardens is going to bring some of their nurses and like do blood check, pressure checks. We can't really doctor them, but maybe do blood pressure checks. Maybe look and see if they do have a little wound and maybe just kind of doctor it. We're going to look and see if we can get like Rachel and Lola to cut hair again. So if there's something, any other, that we might do, it'd be great to offer to them during that time. But we're trying. The Gardens wants to find out what is something that they need. Like in the wintertime, they need hats and scarves and thick socks. But what do they need in May? You know, for the summer, the spring. You know, so looking to find out, and then we will get those as well. Anybody that for the Gardens. You're with Healthcare Services, but I will get volunteer hours for doing that. They're big on volunteer hours, so they will pay me if I go volunteer. So it's just something that they do, and that's the reason why. But anyway. Just think of things to do, what we can do, just to make it fun for them, make them remember us. Anyway. We'll go ahead and end the class, guys, fellowship, and all as well as we get ready for the service. I think Mike Carter is preaching today, and he's preaching on prayer and fasting, which is an amazing thing to do. But anyway, Dave, would you dismiss us in prayer?